Greg Martin is a born leader. He was an all-star athlete outside high school in Boston and voted most likely to succeed. He went to West Point and got hooked on the Army. He went on to Ranger and Airborne School and all the hoo-ah schools that give you instant cred. The Army saw Martin as a rising star. They sent him to MIT. He got 2 master's degrees and a PhD, and then he earned 2 more masters. Greg Martin ultimately became brigadier commander in charge of more than 10,000 soldiers. They admired him and his unyielding energy, even though he put them through round-the-clock workouts. Mad Martin, they named him. What they didn't know, and what he didn't know, is that he had bipolar disorder. Along came the Iraq War. In 2003, General Martin's brigade was part of the forward elements of the planned assault on Baghdad. It was terrifying to be in combat, but through the haze of Martin's bipolar, it was the ultimate high.
I felt exuberant. You know, I had a delusion that I was Superman and I was able to lift up off the ground and fly and see the battlefield from up above. That's pretty strange, and it probably should have been some sort of a trigger. But when you go into mania like that, you don't have any idea that you're in mania, that there's anything wrong. It just all feels wonderful.
And I think that kind of feeling, not the delusion, but that kind of feeling of complete command of a situation and excitement probably served you well as a senior officer, too.
And it did. You know, that's one of the ironies about bipolar disorder. My levels of energy, positivity, creativity were just way above my fellow commanders. Nobody can keep up with you. And so you're rewarded. You have a biochemical advantage over everybody else. You're solving problems faster. It's wonderful until you go too high and then you become destructive and a problem, or until you crash into depression.
And which happened to you?
After the attack was over, and that took about 3 weeks, I was still on a high for several more weeks. And then when we settled down into these forward operating bases, which were big base camps, then I fell into depression. It was really debilitating, but I would force myself to get out in front of the soldiers and do physical training with them. And once I did that, I would lift up out of the depression and I would be good for most of the day. But eventually I started rapid cycling in Iraq, which means you're going from depression into mania, back into depression, and maybe into mania again, all in the same day.
Were you aware of what was happening at the time?
No, I didn't have any idea that there was anything wrong with me.
Did anybody approach you, any of those under your command or above?
It turns out lots of people in retrospect, because I've gone back and interviewed many of my subordinates and seniors and said, hey, you know, I found out in 2014, I had bipolar. Did you see any indication of that? And then subordinates started saying, you know, now that you mention it, I did see stuff. Your energy was over the top. You weren't getting enough sleep. You know, you were doing PT all hours of the day and night. You know, you would have flight of ideas. You'd have so many ideas, you couldn't keep track of the ideas. Your speech got very rapid and pressurized. You got paranoia. You started mistrusting certain people when it made no sense. Another thing, they said, you know, you took excessive risks on the battlefield. You were too aggressive. You put yourself and your force protection guys at risk because you want to go everywhere, see everything on the battlefield. And they said, you should have backed that off significantly.
That's also incredibly frightening, I would think, not just for you, but also for those who were under your command, because you were potentially hurting everybody there. Maybe it was lost on you then, but it's not now. So despite this, you were elevated to the rank of Major General. And then you became president of the nation's highest military educational institution, National Defense University. So the bipolar disorder, undiagnosed, didn't stop you.
Not only did it not stop me, I think it helped me until it stopped helping me. I went acutely manic, and then I was in acute depression. I should not have been in the military. I shouldn't have been leading. I shouldn't have had access to a clearance. I shouldn't have had access to weapons. That would have been a danger and a liability. So almost for 2 years, I probably took a dozen, 15 medications. None of them did a thing. And the doctor prescribed lithium. which is a natural salt. It's Li3 on the chemical periodical tables. And within about a few days, I started feeling good. I was my old self after a week. Lisa, I had to want to get better. I had to believe I could get better. And then I had to work closely hand in hand with my doctors. And I'm doing great. Now, the bipolar is with me for life. I can't take a day off because bipolar can come back and kick my butt anytime it wants to.
So you're doing due diligence to your own health. I wonder if the military fell down in its responsibility to take care of your health and presumably the health, the mental health issues facing other senior leaders and those lower in the chain of command. I mean, there was one quote from Lieutenant General H.R. McMaster, former U.S. National Security Advisor, and he says in part, the traits that obscure bipolar and other disorders are prevalent in leaders. If these disorders go untreated, they can lead to behavior harmful to those leaders and others. And you've spoken about that dangerous behavior. But here's the question. Before the disorders can get treated, they have to be diagnosed. And in your case, and presumably many others, there's something preventing that from happening in the military. What is your understanding of what it is?
I think we have a military culture that derives great strength and power from respect for the chain of command, fighting for your commander, but it's a double-edged sword. When you have a real serious problem, which by everything I read, mental health problems are growing, the double-edged sword is we haven't figured out how to have subordinates who are going to be the first ones to see and detect a mental health problem. We haven't figured out a way for them to have an avenue to express it and to get somebody in a position of responsibility and authority to get the mental health challenged person into medical channels for diagnosis.
What are the stakes here in the bigger picture? What's the effect in aggregate on the U.S. military and on those serving in the military?
I would say that the essence of the military is to take these wonderful young men and women who enlist and join the service and train them so they are really ready to go deploy, fight, win decisively, and they come home healthy to their families. Well, the more people with mental illness that are in that cohort of soldiers, you're going to weaken the fabric, you're going to weaken the trust. Some of them are going to be a threat to themselves and commit suicide or attempted suicide, which is a terrible epidemic as it is. And some of them are going to turn their weapons and their violence on others, their fellow service members. So to that extent, it tears at the fabric and the morale of the units, the warfighting units, and it degrades the capability to perform. I also think that bipolar and many or most of these mental health conditions are treatable medical conditions if diagnosed and the proper medical steps are taken. That's the good news.
What is your wish? It sounds like your life is going really well. As you said, you'll have bipolar for the rest of your life, but you're thriving and you're happy and productive. And you said more humble, you have more humility than you did before. What do you want to accomplish with speaking out and writing the book?
We got to get past this taboo, stigma, spooky, medieval, weird stuff that I think pollutes and distorts the reality of mental illness. I mean, believe me, I was completely healthy. And, you know, it's not some like demon flying around in my brain that gave me the mental illness. It's something physically happened. It was a physiological phenomenon that created the excess biochemicals in the distribution that caused me to, you know, go into mania and then depression. So that's what I want. And I want to help. I want to be a player and, you know, go speak and talk. And you've given me a fabulous opportunity, Lisa. I really appreciate it. Hopefully it'll do some good. And that's what I want to do. It's my life mission to, you know, share my bipolar story, to help save lives and stop the stigma. I mean, that's it. And I'll do it through speaking, through writing, through going on conferences and on panels and all that sort of thing.
I think you're going to help a lot of people. And I appreciate you speaking to us and spreading the word. Major General Greg Martin, thank you very much for talking with us.
My pleasure.